Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 641 and is sponsored by Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, and Oink Pigments. This week's episode is also brought to you by Acorn TV. This week's segments include On the Needles,
In Stitches,
Events,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks, Strawn to Gold,
Knit in Space,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. My name is Jasmine, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Genevieve, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
My name is Gigi, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
What a week! Genevieve and Rex finished their first whole week of school Monday through Friday. Rex was so tired, and it's so good for him because he's getting all that social interaction. You can see his little,
and
his
he
little
has
brain
like
growing.
Four friends, I think.
He does. We've been learning their names every single day, one friend at a time, and it's really exciting. Genevieve's teacher is phenomenal, and I'm really excited. Do you want to talk about what's going on in your class?
Nope.
Okay. I'm really excited. A lot of stuff is happening. Volunteer stuff is ramping up again. We can't be on campus, but we're able.
We can do Zoom.
But we can do Zooms, exactly. So
how do you volunteer long distance?
Some of it's doing fundraising and planning events that we can that can be done virtually or
right.
apart. Some of it is just making sure that the programs that need funding get their funding. And a lot of it, honestly, is on Zoom. I taught Art Vistas last year via Zoom. The Cornerstone, our social-emotional education program, was done via Zoom. So it's happening. Things are rolling again, sort of. So the kids are wearing masks and they're washing their hands, and that is really good. So do you have any updates you want to do for this week before we get into the meat of it?
Updates?
Anything? Anything exciting happening that you'd like to update people on?
Yeah, we have knitting group today.
Precisely. It's going to be amazing. All right. That said, let's move on to the knitting. All right. On the Needles. What are we working on this week? Genevieve, what have you got for this week?
Well, I know you can piggyback on this. I worked on your ripple crop top.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on all of the knit stitches that were in there, I think. Because I think it's knit, 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 purl thing.
Yes, it's ribbing. Knit, 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 purl, purl, plural. Forever. It's good, though. So, to piggyback on that, I finished my ripple crop top. And I updated my spreadsheet
mm-hmm.
to reflect what I had finished. Because I've kind of been slacking on the paperwork side of Stash Dash. You know how
I
it goes.
I can type it for you, you know.
You know, I really appreciate that. I will definitely take you up on that. I have a few more things that need entering, so I will. I'll show you what to do.
Who's winning so far?
As of this morning, I haven't entered my spinning yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Jen was at 10,080 meters.
Good grief. That's a lot.
And I'm just over 6,000, so. But I also haven't entered all my spinning that
so
needs to get entered.
Winning?
She's currently in the lead. Winning is a bit premature.
Okay.
So, that's good.
I'm really rooting for you this year, Yossi Lovey.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. Your support is just heartwarming. All right, Mom, what have you been working on other than throwing shade and trash-talking your daughter, your beloved daughter?
Darling, I love you. I so would like for you to
win for
this
once.
Year.
Yeah. So much shade. My goodness.
So the Rocky Coast cardigan that I started 4 or 5 years ago, I think,
mm-hmm.
I finished the first sleeve.
Hey, good for
I
you.
I knitted the rest of the cuff mm-hmm. and bound it off.
Yay.
So that sleeve is done.
Mm-hmm.
One more sleeve to go.
Excellent. Good for you.
Yes.
All right, Genevieve, do you have a little bit more?
Yes. I wound Mom's Artful Yarns Fable color 96. Do you...
That was for the ripple crop top.
Ah, right.
Yeah. She wound, I think, all three skeins of that one.
Yes.
Which is excellent.
That one was a bit tangly, but not as tangly as another yarn I failed to wound.
Well, speaking of yarn that you tried to wind but was tangly, I cast on my Rhinebeck sweater. I am knitting the Bare Branches cardigan. It's a hoodie by Alana Dacos, and I'm knitting it in Little Skein in the Big Wool, her Targi sweater base, in the Cider Donuts colorway, and I've made some changes already, even though I just started it. So my swatch was amazing. Turned out great. Perfectly respectably sized. And Alana has you knit it in pieces, which I am not doing. I'm doing it in as few pieces as possible. I'm knitting the body in one piece up to the armholes. And from there, I'm going to split off and do the rest of it. I also did a Judy's Magic cast-on instead of casting it on and then knitting the cast-on loops together with the row when you do the turned hem. So I had it live on a needle until it was time to join those. And it was so much easier and turned out so much more beautifully, because if you are off one stitch, like you miss one of those cast-on loops with just picking it up and knitting them together, it makes your whole hem bias, which just drives me to distraction. So I changed that, and then what else? I changed one more thing. Where are my notes? Oh, and instead of doing wrap and turn short rows, I'm doing German short rows. And I'm approximately 2 inches into the sweater, and I've already made that many changes.
What are German short rows?
That is a great question. German short rows are, you take a stitch, and instead of wrapping the yarn around the base of the stitch, like traditional short rows, and turning around, a short row is what it sounds like. You don't knit all the way to the end of the row. And the way you do a short row is so you don't end up with holes, unintentional holes, where you put the short rows. So some people put short rows at the bottom. Your Elsa sweater has short rows to give it that beautiful curve in the back under the booty.
Okay.
Where the ruffle is.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I mean, it doesn't fit me anymore, but I know some people who will like it.
Yeah. Well, people have seen pictures of it, too, from when it did fit you. People who have large bust lines
put short rows. Are you talking about you or me?
Me. You do not yet have
bust lines.
A significant bust line. But that way your sweater fits over your chest without distorting over the shoulders or the rest of it.
Also shoulder decreases.
You're right. Shaped shoulders. There's so many good places to put a short row. The reason I like German short rows is because they feel like the tidiest and they hide.
You didn't say how they are done.
Oh, you do it by pulling the yarn all the way back and you distort the stitch so that it's like two loops of the same stitch. When you go back to knit it together, both sides, Gesundheit, both sides kind of squinch up really nicely.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
They're really beautiful. I'll show you.
Yes, thank you.
Anytime I short row, I use German short rows. This episode is also brought to you by German short rows. I wish. But anyway.
Okay.
So I'm really enjoying it so far. The color is beautiful. I've got Rhinebeck stitch markers from last year that are adding some flair. They're like little fall leaves, and I just love them. It's going to be amazing. I picked up some apple cider donut flavored Oreos. I will report
on... Oh, wait,
on...
what? Okay, I will report on that.
You will also report on that?
And if they're terrible.
We'll let you know for sure. No, we'll let you know if they're good or if they're not good.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm really, really enjoying that. What are you working on, Mom?
I cast on the Bramwell shawl out of silk and cashmere for Grandma Nahid.
And the yarn is from Tess Yarns.
Tess Yarns.
And the yarn is called Kitten, and as we established last week.
Silk and cashmere.
Silk and cashmere, it's no kitten content.
Kitten. No, it is made of kitten.
Don't say that, Genevieve. Yes, anyway.
And I'm posting it on Instagram.
Good for you. Yay.
So far it has one post of the pattern and the materials, but in reality, I'm further along. I'm on the fourth repeat of the second chart.
Nice.
Yes. But I've mostly managed to take pictures. And they will come
Gradually.
Great.
Glad to hear it. Look at you, learning and growing and using technology. You have got this. Genevieve, do you have anything else for this segment?
No.
Okay. I am still making progress on the first sleeve of my Theano testnet. I'm about halfway done, according to my decreases. And I just got sidetracked by other things that were closer to being finished and more exciting temporarily. So that is one of the things. Do you have any more knitting, Mom?
Nope.
Okay, I have one more thing.
I'm focusing on the Bramwell right now because there's a time limit.
You want to get it up to Canada before she goes back to Iran?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I mentioned last week that I had swatched for a sideways top for Aynur Berkambayeva.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Paramus top. Sorry, I almost called it like the Paramus top, but I think it's Paramus, like in New York. And I only know about this from Ghostbusters. So if I'm incorrect, someone please correct me. I re-swatched. This is how I get my information about the world. It's been a long, long... I can't even blame it on COVID. But anyway, I re-swatched for it. I had to wait for my swatch to be washed and blocked, and I'm going to start that top today, actually. As soon as I go home, I'm going to take a few minutes before I come back here to finish getting ready for knitting group and put my feet up and get that started, because I think she's going to add some bust short rows for me again. I feel like that's the theme of this week's episode, but they're sideways, and I've never done a sideways knit piece with bust short rows. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
You're very familiar with darts.
I am very familiar with darts.
And bust darts.
Yes. But the thing that I especially like is that when you do a sideways knit top, I don't know, I like trying things from a bunch of different directions. And I like interesting constructions. And I like all of these things. And Aynur's patterns are remarkably fun to knit, and they're sharp, and I cannot say enough nice things about them. I have like four in my queue, and I've swatched for two of them that I haven't started yet, but are ready to start because I keep getting sidetracked by
other stuff.
Oh, the ruffle on your Elsa sweater was also short rows. It was all short rows.
Okay.
That's how you got the ruffle shape.
Okay.
I just wanted to give you another example because I just thought of it.
Told me that.
No, there's a curve for the back and there's the ruffle. So anyway, that said, do you want to add something?
No.
Okay, let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Are you feeling disgruntled about your stash? Are you browsing into ham looking for knitting inspiration? Is color kind of a big deal in your life? Oink Pigments offers over 140 picture-perfect colorways to make you squeal with delight. For a limited time only, bring home the bacon with code KNITMORE and get 15% off in-stock yarns and fibers at oinkpigments.com. Shop soon because these pigs will fly. You can find links to Oink along with everything else we've talked about in the show notes.
All right, what has had us in stitches this week?
Well, I wore my Gryffindor hat to school. And I wore my Hearthstone during a cold morning.
Nice. Mother dear?
I have been using my Halloween quilt in the evening. No, at night on my poor arthritic hips. And that's that.
Is that doing it for you?
It is.
Excellent. I wore my ripple crop top all day yesterday.
You did.
And it is so comfortable. I can't wait to wash it and wear it again. It is like the perfect thing. And a little bird told me that while I was taking a little snoozle the other day.
I tried it on.
How does it fit you?
It fits like a loose sweater. It goes down to about, I'm sorry you can't see this, but I'm describing it.
Three-quarter length.
Sleeves. Around like an inch of my elbow, down of my elbows, and it kind of ruffles around the amount that you can still see my shirt.
Okay.
And the neck, if you can see my shirt, and it just feels really good.
Okay. So you'd wear it as a sweater, not as just like a t-shirt?
I mean, I could, and I definitely would, but...
You know she designed one in kids' sizes, too,
okay,
right?
Okay, thank you. Oh. That's all I need to know.
In sock yarn, too, so you can go through the sock yarn that we picked for you.
Oh, could you use my sock yarn that I have?
If you pull it out, I will show you how to do it, and maybe you can do some of the knitting on it, too.
I already wound it, and it's in my room.
The pink that...
Yep,
okay.
I know where it is.
All right.
What is the fiber content of yours?
Mine is 85% Pima cotton, 15% silk, and Genevieve's is... sock yarn, so it's wool and
it's
nylon
something.
Is my guess. Yeah, it's yarn
it's
with
yarn.
Pink in it. All right, so that is what I've been wearing this week. Shall we move on to the next segment?
Excellent plan.
All righty, what events are we participating in, attending, and or whatevering?
Yes.
I'm out of nouns already, which is not... A good sign for a Saturday morning. So what are we doing?
So Stash Dash is being hosted on Discord, and it does not show this in the show notes, so I'm going to ask, how many more days till Stash Dash ends?
It's done in 10 days. It's done on August 31st.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So the moment of truth is upon us, nearly. So not next week's episode, but the week after, we will know
who
wins, who the winner is, and who Jen is.
Oh. Okay.
All right. What else have we got? Oh, I've been updating my spreadsheet. Genevieve, I think, is going to help me wind some skeins today.
I believe so.
Of
as
handspun.
Long as they're not super tingly.
No, off the bobbins.
Oh.
To measure the yarn. Yes, that one. Making skeins.
Okay, that's better. I like that better. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for helping with it preemptively. So once I've got that in there, I can update the spreadsheet for where I am today.
Okay,
that is excellent, yeah. Genevieve, because your mom needs all the help she can get.
My goodness.
Can I also help with plying? It looks easier than actually spinning.
You have to, no. I'll talk to you about plying later because okay. The whole thing is while it is... While it does look easier, you have to do it correctly or your finished yarn will not behave the way you want it to.
Okay.
But I'll give you some of my extras to practice plying with.
Can I write on the tags?
You can absolutely write on the tags. I use Tyvek tags on my skeins so that we can measure the yardage. And then when I set the yarn, I don't have to guess which skein has how much yardage.
I keep suggesting this, Mom, but you know what you should do?
Tell me.
Have all your projects ready except for one stitch. And then finish, and then knit the one stitch in all your projects so you can win.
That's what Jen does, honey. That's how she wins. She couldn't beat me if she was knitting the way I do. Anyway.
She says while raising her eyebrows with her evil dimples.
Hey, you get your evil dimples from me, kid. So the other exciting thing that is currently going on is the Bay Area Fiber Fair. It's running through September 23rd, 2021. Mother dearest, what exciting thing are we doing next?
We're going to Rhinebeck, October 16th and 17th, 2021. And I'm excited and traveling. I haven't gone anywhere.
In so long. And we'll be going to Indie Untangled. We'll be there for the later afternoon bit because if our flight was delayed, we got the last little window for Indie Untangled.
Oh, excellent.
So that it, in case of travel delays, we will still hopefully be there. So I'm really excited. It's going to be fun. We look forward to seeing you there. We'll continue to update on our Rhinebeck status as we go. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane Bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with the Woolly Wonder Sheeplehorse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane, along with everything else we've talked about, in the show notes.
For Mother Knows Best, I have a piece of advice for you. make a list and get it out of your head. And I think that might also have been one of Dr. Gemma's pieces of advice.
I think hers was about dealing with anxiety specifically and write down the things you were worried about. But one way of coping with unknowns is to put down the things that you do know. And I know that planning is an anxiety. You know what? I think you're right. I think we just accidentally, unintentionally purloined this from Gemma. I'm sure she'll be good with it, though. If you haven't listened to the cognitive podcast Over with Dr. Gemma, you totally should. We'll link to her, along with everything else we talk about in this week's episode, in the show notes. I have been specifically thinking about this because of the beginning of the school year and whether you are a teacher and you're teaching in person or doing distance teaching, or you are a student who is doing distance learning or in-person learning.
Which I can talk about.
Yeah. Or whether you're the parent of
the
a child. Student. Yeah. Either way, there is a lot going on in the fall. And I feel like even when I wasn't a parent, the fall was a busy time. And I've always been a big fan of lists and checking things off of them.
Mm-hmm. It's nice because when you cross off that box, you're like, I did that. I did that, and that is enough.
That's exactly right. And nailed it.
Can I talk about like lists now?
Yeah, talk about your lists. I'd love to hear about your lists.
So when I started to go back to school during March.
For distance learning?
Yes. They sent home a special list of stuff, but I made my own because my teacher told me by myself because she said you can come back and be in our classroom or mm-hmm. you can stay distanced and go to Miss Tally's because we only have three distance learners and it would be easier just to have all of them be here, not on a screen,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else has six or eight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be easier for you to go to Miss Tally. So these are your options. And I said, I'm coming back.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell my bestie that.
Yeah. So when you went back, this was in May.
Mm-hmm.
This was because of the vaccination status and before the Delta and Lambda variants popped up and because your
Lambda.
School. I know. They're naming them after all kinds of Greek letters. But the district has done a really excellent job of masking and keeping the kids safe and things like that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I started, because when my teacher was listing the things I needed to bring back, I was like kind of mentally making notes. And when I write stuff down, I remember it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's because you put it on paper.
It's because the brain bone is connected to the pen bone. Do you know that song?
No, I don't, and please don't sing it.
I'm not going to sing it right now, but I'm going to sing it for you on the microphones. We'll link to the Bone song, along with everything else we talk about in the show notes.
That's just weird.
It's a good one. You'll love it.
But I started making lists, so I would have Chromebook Charger, all math books,
mm-hmm.
Multiplication chart.
Yep.
Good thing
pencil.
You had it all written down.
I did. And after I went back to school, I just deleted it, and it was like, this is out of my way. I don't need to know this anymore because I have it all. And then I brought it home.
Yeah, and I got new filler paper for my planner because it's really depressing to have an empty planner and nowhere to go.
Oh,
and so
like
I just stopped using it. My which one?
Sloth planner.
That's a to-do list thing. So I have little to-do lists that go inside my planner because there is the general house list and then there is my personal list of things that need doing.
Can I talk
doing.
About your sloth thing? It's really cute.
Go ahead. Tell them about my sloth paper. We'll link to it in the show notes.
So it's really funny. It's this. Hang on. It's, it has sloths on it and it says, like, stuff like to do after nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of them says to do eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how are you feeling? One sloth, two sloth, three sloth, five, all sloth-like.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a water tracking chart on there, too.
I think so. And an exercise chart, which says, you don't have to do this.
It's very me. I feel a kindred sloth connection spirit. With sloths.
By the way, I did try to win bingo to get you a sloth sticky note planner. I'm sorry, Sophie got it.
It's okay. I'm going to Google that exactly what you mentioned. But I got new paper, which has the month, so I can do an overview and keep an eye on what is going on, keep an eye on the deadlines for my test knits that I'm working on, because those are things that kind of float and cause...
Problems?
Not problems, but like...
Anxiety.
A little anxiety. Tiny anxiety.
Mental clutter?
Yes. Mental clutter is exactly how I'd put it. And so I've got it in my little note, in my little planner that's reusable, and you just put new paper in as you go. And I've got my school commitments on there.
That's nice.
And my kids' stuff. So if Genevieve has a thing, I've got it on there. If Rex has a thing, I've got it on there, because the kindergarten kids are... Genevieve and Rex go to the same school, but the kindergartners are an entirely different thing, so they have their own stuff, yes?
And kindergartners won't get kicked out if they, like, do something wrong, so...
Yes, we had a very family discussion-involved reading of the student and parents' rights handbook together. Yeah, but it's important to read stuff before you sign
and
it.
They basically said everything in different words.
And in grown-up language?
Yes.
Yes.
They also said the same thing differently, which is weird. They're like...
They're covering their bases.
Yeah. But Rex wandered off halfway through. He's like, I'm bored. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's true.
But he doesn't really need to know any of this until first grade.
It's true.
And by first grade, he will be a slightly bit more mature, so.
That's what I've heard. So that has been a weight off of my shoulders. And it makes me so happy.
I like doing lists. I would do lists on my scratch paper and put everything that I could think of that needed to be done on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever got done went in my notebook on the ta-done list.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever wasn't done still could be done the next day. And if something was urgent, I guess I would put a star next to it.
I've been treating my planner kind of like a bullet journal. And the basic idea of a bullet journal is you put everything in and they have special symbols. I don't bother with that. But if something doesn't get done, you just move it to the next day.
Exactly.
So.
It still can get done.
Yeah. It's not 1,000,000% urgent.
Yeah.
If it's urgent, obviously it gets done. So yeah. I've been feeling really good about that. And I wanted to put it out there because... Sometimes you need to have something on a list so you can check it off, like swatch for the sweater. Because one of the reasons I wasn't able to start my test knit for Anor is because I had to re-swatch it. And then once the swatch was done, I had to wash the swatch. And it's amazing how like this one little thing was holding me up. So I just put it on my list and I got it done and then I got to check it off my list. So we do a lot of this one and we talked about getting a dopamine hit from checking things off a list.
Right.
And... you know, get your good brain chemicals however you can, is what I say.
And I like making lists because if I don't write it down, I sometimes forget that I need to do it.
Yep, same.
And it's the next morning is, oh rats, I didn't do this.
It's at the grocery store and you say, I'm going to remember to pick up the ricotta for the lasagna.
And then you don't.
And you get home and realize...
I forgot.
What did you forget?
The ricotta.
Exactly.
And the bacon.
So don't forget the ricotta is what
I'm
saying.
More the bacon.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. This week's episode is also brought to you by Acorn TV. While TV has been a saving grace for many of us, I'm sure by now a lot of you feel like you're caught up on every single show imaginable. If you're tired of scrolling through the same movies or shows and miss the excitement of weekly releases and brand new binge fests, then you have to get Acorn TV. Acorn TV is the largest commercial-free British streaming service that features compelling stories, exclusive premieres, and originals you won't find anywhere else. With Acorn TV, there's always something new to discover. It has hundreds of exclusive shows from around the world, including award-winning dramas, mysteries, comedies, and so much more. From production to performances, the series you'll find on Acorn TV are exceptional and refreshing because they're cleverly written, visually striking, and feature renowned actors like David Tennant and Tandy Newton. I am so excited about watching My Life is Murder. It's featuring Lucy Lawless. as a retired cop named Alexa Crow, with her old boss, Bernard Curry, from Once Upon a Time, regularly asking for her insight on cold cases, and a young police data analyst, Ebony Vagulins, eager to be mentored. Whether Alexa wants to or not, Alexa can't seem to stop solving crime. I can't wait to see Xena in her new role. So, you get thousands of hours of new, enthralling content on Acorn TV for a fraction of the cost compared to most streaming services at just $5.99 a month. I just love catching up on these things, and it's so fun getting to watch things that my friends are watching too. So if you're ready for a streaming service that offers new stories, new characters, and breathtaking sceneries every week, do what I did and get Acorn TV. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and use my promo code KNITMORE. But you have to enter the code in all lowercase letters. That's ACORN.TV, code KNITMORE, to get your first 30 days for free. You can find links to Acorn TV along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
It's when knitting attacks.
Mother dearest.
Lovey.
How is your knitting treating you this week?
Well, I've been attacked repeatedly.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear.
Okay. So I've been working on the Bramwell shawl for Grandma Nahid. And my plan was to take step-by-step
pictures
and post them.
Excellent.
And so I took my first picture, and there was something off, and I had to come for a lesson on Instagram again. So I did the tab, and it was cast on 3 stitches, work 6 rows, and then the instructions didn't make sense, because usually you have 3 stitches, you pick up stitches on
the one side of the tab,
long side, and then you knit 3 more stitches, and they wanted me to go around, so I ended up with 12 stitches instead of 3. Instead of 9, which didn't work. So I fudged that, and I don't know if I remembered to take a picture of the tab. I don't know. Anyway, then I did the first chart, and that was good. And on the return row, I put on a lifeline. So that was good. And then on the second chart, on the second repeat, my numbers were off. And I tried putting in a stitch marker after each repeat, and that didn't quite work. So I had to pull back, and good thing I had a lifeline. That made it easier.
Yeah.
But I was going to take a picture of stuff being frogged, and I forgot that.
Oops.
Yeah. And so after each repeat of each chart, I put in a lifeline. Problem is, my stitch markers also get lifelined.
Oh, you have to go around them.
How do you go around them?
Sure. I'll show you later.
Yeah.
So, it's easy.
So I have stitch markers on my lifelines.
But then you can't knit them up because...
Exactly.
And they're going to get trapped in your knitting.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll work on that today together. All right. That sounds like a slightly bigger problem.
Anyway, yeah. So, but I was talking to my sister on Instagram.
In Messenger?
Facebook.
Messenger.
No, Facebook. FaceTime.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I was FaceTiming her. And I showed her the progress. And Grandma Nahid was sitting in the back seat, and I talked to her briefly, but I didn't show her.
Ah, so it's going to be a surprise?
Hopefully.
All right. Sounds good.
I hope it's going to be a good surprise and not an oops, haven't gotten it done in time.
Oops. Surprise. Well, we'll work on that so that that happens.
Yes. So yeah, I had a lot of knitting attacks.
It's okay. It keeps the show fresh. Thank you for providing content for our listeners.
Okay.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment.
But first, a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back? Or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in the show notes.
This week for Straw Into Gold, I am delighted to share that I finished plying the Lisa Souza Ultrafine Australian Merino Roving, which is in the Emerald City colorway. It's about a pound of singles that got plied into a four ply, so I'm really looking forward to looking at how it's in the skein. There's something really satisfying about spinning and being able to see how those colors blend together and how they kind of marl up in, especially in a four ply. So I'm gonna wind those skeins today and measure out yardage, hopefully with Genevieve's help, and set the yarn so that I can see how they look in finished skeins.
And then it will have material.
Yes, and we'll both have material for next week's episode.
Mostly me.
And since I had finished that one big part, I wanted to finish spinning the Cormo fleece I've been working my way through. And I have a few ounces left on that, which I'll work on this week. But that is a white Sue Reuser Cormo from a sheep named Farah. And that's been going beautifully. I'm spinning that on my shacked reeves. And it just spins unbelievably beautifully. It's so, so good. And the singles have such shine that I'm super excited about plying that up because it's also going to get dyed. A friend of mine's going to put it in a dye pot. Two skeins are going to be fingering weight and the rest of it's going to be probably a DK or a worsted. I haven't decided yet. So that is it for my spinning this week. I am really excited to be spinning again, and the idea of working with hand spun this winter is really, really warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there? All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next segment. This week for Knits in Space, I am so, so excited to share that I went to a yarn shop for the first time since longer than the pandemic, really. But
without me.
Please let them know why I didn't take you with me.
Because I can't get around.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time. I'm not very mobile. And there was lots of walking.
And it was Berkeley, and it was a lot of sitting in the car, and we took the little car because Andrew had the kids.
Yeah,
and you can't fit in the little car.
I can't do little car.
Yeah. So, I did not leave her at home because I'm mean. Did I bring something good back for you?
You did.
See, it's all good. Everyone got something good from this trip. I went to the Black Squirrel Yarn Shop in Berkeley, California, with a friend, and Chase, the owner, had an order for me, and instead of having her ship it to me, I said, could I come and pick it up in person? And she said, absolutely. So I took some knitting and I went and hung out and I picked up my order and sat in their beautifully well-lit shop and just knitted and hung out for a bit. And it was
a well-lit place.
A well-lit place for yarn, precisely. A clean, well-lit place for yarn, even.
Yes.
And I haven't been in a yarn shop in so long. And it's those pleasures of being and like getting to look at things in person. And I'm still in COVID mode where I don't touch things unless it's going straight into my cart or my basket. But being able to see color in person
makes a difference.
Being able to take my time and not be like, okay, whatever, this is an internet purchase, let's just do this. It did make a huge difference, and I felt really good. So part of the plan, because Andrew did school pickup and I was in Berkeley, is that I told him I would pick up half-baked pizzas from Zachary's Pizza. Now, if you are in the Bay Area, I think there's 6 locations now, but the one I knew, I didn't realize there were 6 locations until I pulled up the the website, but there's one in Berkeley on Solano Avenue, which is the one I went to when I was in college. And half-baked pizzas means, it's exactly what it sounds like. Their pizzas are handed to you half-baked, and you finish the baking at home, and you can throw them in the freezer.
So that you don't eat them in the car.
Well, I mean, that's not...
Part of it.
That's part of it, so you don't eat them in the car on your way home and not share them with your family. But it's so that you can have a hot, fresh pizza relatively on demand that's from them. And their pizzas are so, so good.
So good.
That's the only pizza I've ever liked.
Zachary's pizza?
Yes.
Really?
I actually don't enjoy pizza, but that pizza I will have.
That is a rousing endorsement. We should put that on their website. I don't like any pizza except Zachary's. Something that's really fun about the Solano location is they have a bunch of different art. So they have Captain Underpants with a Zachary's pizza, which I took a picture of for X and I forgot to show him, but it's on my phone for later. But I ended up picking up pizzas for a couple of families that we're friends with because...
And
Gramsci. Might as well.
Yes, and Gramsci and Unky. And so we left with 8 pizzas. 3 of them for my house because we're going to freeze one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ate the other ones for dinner. And
oh, could I have some barbecue for lunch?
Totally. That's Daddy's department. So you can let him know. But it was really good. And the drive back was agonizing because it smelled like hot, delicious pizza that was only half baked and we couldn't eat. So we got home. Andrew took care of the last step of the pizza. My friends got an easier evening where... They had to do the prep on putting an oven in the pizza. An oven in the pizza. A pizza in the oven because you butter the sheet. The cookie sheet you put it on, which is one of their steps. The steps are delightful. We'll link to the Zachary's website. But it was like, we had this really amazing day. And I came home and because I've needed more rest, I took a nap while Andrew took care of the last steps.
And that way you didn't have to smell the delicious smell of them warming up.
I woke up and I had hot pizza ready for me to eat. And it was the best. The best. Highly recommend. 1,000,000%. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I love Zachary's pizza.
Everyone was happy with this selection.
Yes, who doesn't?
Right? Alrighty, so let's move on to the next segment. But first, a word from our sponsors. When was the last time your knitting yarn was a work of art? Infinite Twist produces one-of-a-kind semi-solid gradients featuring speckles, highlights, lowlights, and gorgeous color transitions. From 700-yard giant gradients to 200-yard matching sock sets, Infinite Twist gradients will hold your interest from cast-on to bind-off. See the currently available gradients at infinitetwist.com or be the first to know when new colors are posted by signing up for our newsletter at infinitetwist.com/newsletter-signup. You can find links to Infinite Twist along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Hey, Mom.
Lovey.
How's your sewing treating you this week?
What sewing? I don't sew anymore. But I'm signed up for a sewing class for the fall semester at Kanyada College.
Mm-hmm.
And the first class is pants drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 8 work weeks of pants drafting, we are having about 2 weeks of construction.
Cool.
Because the drafting, so it fits, is important.
I've heard that.
So I couldn't get online somehow. I don't know what was wrong.
You couldn't get online or you couldn't get to your stuff for Kanyada?
I couldn't get to my Kanyada stuff.
Okay, that's different from your internet being down.
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, so I came over to Jasmine's with my laptop and she scares my laptop.
When she says I scare her laptop, it means it works when I'm sitting next to her. It just doesn't work when I'm not sitting next to her.
Yes.
The magic was within her the whole time. Her mother. Her... My mother, not me. Sorry, continue.
Anyway, and class starts Monday morning, 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't ordered my materials yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really stressed about that. So we found the green sheet and printed it off,
mm-hmm.
and it said $75?
For the new version of the textbook?
For the printout.
Like the photocopy version.
Photocopy, yeah. I thought $75 is a bit. And I looked at the name and that sounded vaguely familiar. And then Jasmine brought it up on...
I googled the ISBN number to see if we could get it for somewhere else less expensive and not photocopied.
Amazon.
Amazon was one of the choices, yes.
And I saw the picture of the cover and I thought, hey, I have that book.
Mm-hmm.
I took a Sloper class at...
At a local sewing shop.
At a local sewing shop earlier, much earlier.
If you're a long-time listener, you will remember Mom lamenting how poorly this particular class went.
Yes.
It'll go better this time.
Oh, dear. So, yeah. And the price on Amazon was almost $400.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was too much. And I remember that the book was expensive. It was about $100.
Mm-hmm. But, like, it was a book. It wasn't a photocopy of a book.
That's right. And the book was on my bookshelf, and I just pulled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just about ready for class. I need to find a binder.
Mm-hmm.
And some binder paper and stick my materials in there. And then I'm ready for my Monday morning 9 o'clock class. Oh, and the commute. I have to hobble to my dining room table and sit down.
Ugh, it's brutal.
There
might be some traffic.
The commute.
Yep. Shared office space is always a joy.
How is your sewing coming along?
Well, I'm very fancy. As you may or may not know, I talked about cutting masks last week, didn't
mm-hmm.
I?
You did.
No, I couldn't have. I talked about buying fabric last week. So the kids have two different sized masks. I'm using the Japanese Sewing Book's 3D mask pattern, which we'll link to in the show notes, with an adaptation because I'm so fancy. One of the issues I have with this pattern is that it doesn't have a nose wire or a space for a nose wire built in, and that makes them fit better. Did you want to say something?
The nose wires, it makes it so you can, like, have the nose like this.
Like, snug?
Yeah, so it doesn't slip off like occasionally masks do.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you sneeze, it goes...
Yeah, it does. I'm glad that that was a sound effect that tells you exactly what happens, too. I also adapted the pattern by turning in half an inch.
So tell me what you did for the nose wires.
Oh, I found a different tutorial on how to put in a nose wire in masks, which I'll link to. I'm going to put a project page in my project page for my masks.
So you sewed a channel?
I put the nose wire
mm-hmm.
on the back of... So you sew them the right sides together, that first seam where you just do the edges together.
Okay.
And then after you turn it right side out...
Right.
And you trim all the corners and all that.
Mm-hmm. Which
and press,
I did.
Which Mom did. And Andrew did the pressing. No, I did the pressing. He just pulled out the stuff. And from there, you take the nose wire and you put it down where it's going to go and you trace around it. And I have those friction pilot pens.
Right.
Which
oh,
are
I love
heat.
Those.
Yes, I got them in colors because they're very useful. And you trace around it and then you sew around it. Sew around three of the sides and wiggle the nose wire in and mm-hmm. very carefully so close that channel up so that the nose wire, so you don't
doesn't
sew over the nose wire and break your needle right in your
right.
face.
Yeah.
And that greatly improved the wearability of them. And you can put a nose wire after the fact in almost any mask because they talked about, like, here's what to do if your thing doesn't have a nose wire. So I'm going to go back and fix some of the other ones. So the other change I made to this pattern was I just turned yestrenum.
So what you did in essence was sew a channel.
Correct.
Which is something you also do when you sew boning into a garment.
Thank you. That's a useful thing to know.
Yes.
And
could you imagine a mask with boning? How well that would, like, stand up against and away from your face and away from your lipstick?
And maybe...
Actually, that would work.
Maybe I'll do that with some extra nose wires. And see how that works for me.
And maybe we could make a video on what boning is, since...
Boning is the stuff they put in bras and corsets.
Hmm, that's nice.
Yeah. It's called an underwire, though, in a bra. I'll show you one of my corsets later. So anyway, I cut the masks. The way I cut them is the fabric was all washed and pressed, except for the cotton that goes on the backside, which I had Andrew press because it is the worst.
No.
It's miserable to press. It's you have to use a sledgehammer to get
the... What did you use? What kind of fabric did you use?
Good, thick cotton.
Good, thick cotton.
For the inside. Yeah.
Not muslin?
No, because it's not as thick.
And Mom made me two beautiful masks. There's one that looks like... So it's kind of like... What's it called when there's like dots that form a picture when you look far away?
Abstract art? Oh, Impressionism.
Impressionism. So it looks like Impressionism of mountains with rainbow colors. So mm-hmm. It kind of looks like there's these cliffs in Nightmare Before Christmas that kind of curve.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that.
They're really beautiful. Genevieve picked some really excellent fabric.
And the other one is black with like white swirls, so it looks like magic or wind.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that one, but...
The elastic popped out.
Yeah, we had a slight problem, and Mom is going to fix it.
I'm
going to
fix those today because I figured out how to... I got pre-threaded elastic ear things with the little scooty rubber things. So instead of wrestling with the little rubber caps that I bought and mangling my hands, which is absolutely not worth it, I got them pre-strung to make my life easier.
Do you still have stuff that needs to be strung?
No. I mean, theoretically, yes, but I bought 100... of the pre-strung ones, so I'm good for now. So what I did for the kids, Rex has his own size of mask because he's a little bit smaller than Genevieve, and Genevieve mm-hmm. has her own size.
Mm-hmm.
I put their mask template on top of the fabric, and I layered the fabric, so I cut, I think, 6 or 7 masks at a time.
Okay.
And then when it came to the lining...
With a rotary cutter?
With a rotary cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate my rotary cutter, so I need to invest in one that is not ergonomic and pops back into place every half an inch. Because the thing that's supposed to make it lock into place and be safe and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
kept closing, and it was maddening. So I did the same thing with the linings, except I had them lined up side by side, and I took the fabric and I went 1 layer, 2 layer, 3 layer, 4 layer, 5 layer, 6 layer. Like I just folded it
mm-hmm.
so that the folds would be cut off because I had it right up against the edge because I'm thrifty with my cutting.
Oh, excellent.
Someone taught me well, and I rotary cut it around them. But it was efficiency as far as I didn't cut them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Not one at a time.
Not one at a time, but
you
also...
You did a factory setting.
I did, and I made sure it was both efficient for my body and also my materials. So it was an efficiency extravaganza.
Excellent.
So then I sat down at my machine and I started going and started sewing these beautiful masks, and they turned out really beautifully. And the best compliment is one of our friends who's part of our bubble was admiring one of Rex's masks because I let the kids pick their first 2 masks mm-hmm. for school so I could just knock out a couple of their masks
right
the night before. And he was showing off his Avengers mask. And our friend was asking me, like, oh, and they were making this. Like, this is so clever. Like, there's a thing for the filter and there's a thing for the... Because I just turned in the edge of the lining
mm-hmm.
so that you can put a filter in the center section if you want to. But I was like... And Rex stops her and says, Mom made this. Mom sewed it with her sewing machine. So I'm feeling really accomplished.
It's normal to him.
It is. And the thing that worked really well for me, I was trying to figure out how I could set up a cutting space for myself that is workable and I don't have to haul all my stuff over here to use your cutting space. So I have one of these mats, these white, what is this mat called? The Cutting Edge. A friend of mine gave me hers because she's not sewing anymore, and I have mm-hmm. one on my table, but my table is very messy.
Cluttered?
It's cluttered and it's hard to clear off enough to cut on for the time being. But I took my second one and I took it in my bedroom, and there's a space where I do my makeup, but on the floor where it's a big open space
mm-hmm.
that's well lit, and I laid everything down and I was able to work in there and close the door
yes.
so that I didn't have dogs running around and I didn't have to worry about my stuff getting stepped on or being underfoot or interrupting someone's imagination game by spreading my stuff out. So the next step for me is taking my measurements and figuring out which size to trace for the pants pattern I bought, because we don't cut into our patterns. We trace them onto paper and then cut the tracing paper so I can make sure it fits where it's supposed to and I don't accidentally cut the hips too narrow or something like that. And I think I'm going to add some elastic to the back of the waistband, because even though it's not intended to have that, because of how I'm shaped, I really like having that extra little bit of pulling in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it fits perfectly, that way it doesn't peak and my underpants don't show. So
excellent plan.
Lots of talking about sewing tiny little things, but I'm really proud of it. And this way we can have a good rotation on washing masks this year because we didn't really have that as well last year. So that said, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week we'd like to thank Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, Oink Pigments, Acorn TV, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything, we've talked about in this week's episode can be found at the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, G-I-G-I, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and pretty much everywhere as Knit More Girls. If you're enjoying the podcast, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review. This is Jasmine,
Genevieve,
and Gigi,
telling you to knit more.